Find out why a good place to meet is between the buns. Hello and welcome to Best Motorcycle Roads. I'm Tom.
And I'm Todd. We have over 65 years of combined motorcycling experience and 30 years of planning and riding motorcycle trips. We're here to share with you everything we've learned over those years.
Our goal at Best Motorcycle Roads is simple. Make your next motorcycle trip the best it can be. We'll dive into technology, planning, packing, the routes, and other tips and everything in between.
From essential prep to unforgettable routes, we've got you covered.
Before we kickstart today's journey, we ask you to sign up for our BMR Rider Alerts. It's our way of keeping you in the loop with the latest rides, tips, and stories. We promise no spam, only the essentials to enhance your motorcycle adventures. Join the BMR crew today. We'll put a link in the show notes. This segment about motorcycle gear reviews and tips we call the Toolkit. And I thought today, since we're talking about the Eclipse rides, Todd, that we would talk about hot riding things. Because the Eclipse ride in 2017 was a hot ride.
Hot.
And so one of the things for me, and I know you guys have used them on the wings, Gold Wings, for a long time, is there's many different versions of this, but the ones that we've all used and really enjoyed are called Baker Air Wings.
Yes.
And they're really good for cold and hot. But basically what Baker Air Wings are is accessories that you attach on the bike. There's three different three different sets, is how we call it. There's one that's up high, there's one that's mid, and then they sell some low for some bikes, not all bikes. And basically what they allow you to do is deflect air towards or away from you, depending on how you want to do it. So
yeah, and the high ones really are kind of for your hands,
right,
and maybe your neck area. And you can either, if they're closed, you really won't get any wind blowing on your hands,
yep,
or your neck. And if you angle them in toward yourself, you're just really going to like funnel that air right at
you.
Yeah.
So, and then depending on the bike, of course, you know, the uppers, mids, and lowers. Mm-hmm. On the Goldwing, the uppers are, I think, mostly under the mirrors, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. And another example on the Kawasaki Concours I had, they were actually above the mirrors.
Oh.
But it's just riding position and everything, but it's the same concept. It was pushing air to you. And man, oh man, what a difference it makes.
Yeah.
And also in the rain, too. It can stop that rain from just pounding on the, kind of keeping your shoulders dry, a little more dry. But but boy, I mean, having Baker Air Wings, when it's hot,
it's a world of difference. You can just funnel them, and so it really can grab the air and just blow it right on you. It's pretty nice.
And it's better. It's actually better than having nothing, I think, at all there.
Yeah.
Because they're very adjustable. They don't collapse. There's not like settings on those.
Yeah.
And that's honestly like some of the parts that I don't like about some of the competitors. I have some on this Goldwing now that I'm going to change out because they have basically three like click stops to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, where they are mounted there, if you have them open there, it'd be great for the cold because it's taking the engine heat and kicking it right to you, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I think having the adjustability on these bikes with that airflow is probably one of the things that makes long distance riding enjoyable. Because it's, and when it's cold, you can stop it and it kind of, it really does a good job on that.
Yeah.
And that goes all the way down. You don't have the lowest.
I don't have the lowers. No, Brad has the lowers.
Yeah. Those are really nice. It can stop the like rain when it's getting on your boots.
Yeah.
As well. So yeah. So I really am. I'm a big fan, especially when you're talking about hot weather riding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd want to not have something.
Yeah. No.
Additional.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Love having those. Ride-wise is the section we focus on planning and safety tips. And right now we're going to talk all about your head.
The upper.
from your neck up. Number one, sunscreen. I've paid the price several times. Because you get on a motorcycle, you know, and yeah, it's sunny out, but, you know, you got the wind blowing and you don't realize for how long you're just, you know, heading into the sun. You don't realize how hot it's burning you. And, you know, I remember one of the first long trips I took, I was meeting you guys down in Memphis.
It was Memphis, yep.
And I took a 10-hour, pretty much straight ride. I didn't stop other than to fuel. Didn't put sunscreen on. I had my helmet on. I had my sunglasses on, but I had my modular helmet open because it was hot. And didn't put sunscreen on. And I remember when I met up with you guys and took my helmet off, and you were just all laughing, like looking at me laughing. I'm like, what's up? And I mean, nose, it looked like a clown face I had drawn. It was just bright red, but it was just like this, just this much, you know.
But you'd wore sunglasses.
I had sunglasses, so my eyes were still white. So I just had like this, you know, this part right here is burnt. I mean, burnt, yeah.
Well, and I know that you were talking about head up, but if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had some gloves on, and the gloves had holes, you know, like holes. And I had these polka dots on my hands, too. So I tell you what, sunscreen, absolutely. And, you know, be careful when you're choosing. Here's another kind of funny story. It was one of the more recent trips, and we were, like, going to Nashville. We're, you know,
yeah,
heading down to Tennessee, and we stopped to get fuel, and it was still kind of early in the ride, you know, a couple hours in. And before I left, my wife has a bin in the closet that's all sunscreens and aloes and that kind of stuff. And just as I was walking out the door, I remembered, oh, I need to grab some. So I just went into that bin and just grabbed a couple of bottles. Didn't pay attention, threw them in my bag. Well, we stopped to get fuel, and I
reached into my... Better sunscreen up.
A better sunscreen up. Everybody else was. So I go into my bag, and I start wiping it on my face, you know, and... And one of the guys standing next to me says, you better keep rubbing. I'm like, I am. And he's like, no, you got to keep rubbing. It's not rubbing in. I'm like, just give me a second. You know, I'm
chill.
Like, leave me alone. He goes, no, it's not rubbing in at all. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I looked into the side view or the, you know, rear view mirror of the bike. And sure enough, I was using zinc oxide, you know, like the lifeguards put on their nose. It's just white. I had my whole face smeared with this white crap, and I couldn't get rid of it.
Well, it's like oil-based,
oh,
I think.
Oh, so I just left it. Yeah, I look like I had white clown makeup.
Great, great.
Oh, I know they took pictures of me, too. And then the other thing, too, is just hydration.
Right.
That's the other thing. When you're riding in the wind, you know, it's just evaporating, you know, the moisture off your body. You might feel cool because, you know, you're doing 60 miles an hour. And don't notice it, but you're really drying yourself out. So, you know, I keep at least one water bottle on the bike that I can grab while we're riding.
Yeah.
And I've got a second one in the passenger water bottle holder that I can just reach back and grab. But just make sure you hydrate all the time.
And I'll generally bring like some solar cane because even just to re-moisturize, like you said, the skin after aloe, like at night.
Yeah.
And then one more thing in that head-up area, too, is I tend to carry some, like, baby wipe type stuff because my when I sweat, it gets really, like, acidic.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I don't wear, like, a beanie, then my head will break out right up here where my, where the foam.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, by day three, I start to get, like, a rash.
Yeah, and I'll bet it starts to eat the foam out of your helmet pretty quick, too.
Yeah, it's not comfortable. And so that's when I started wearing the beanies, and the beanies must wick away that enough puts the little space that
just
I need
space
between.
You need, yeah.
And so that's why I wear the beanies always too,
that's
under the
idea.
Helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, really just anything that's going to be exposed to sun. Yeah. You know, if you have a helmet on, you don't have a whole lot of exposure other than just your face. But if you've got short sleeves on, get your arms.
Right.
And, you know, don't forget about your hands. The back of your hands will burn up. You're going to be uncomfortable if you don't.
Well, we talked about this before, too. It's just anything that makes the trip uncomfortable, that's just not fun.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
It makes it tough to take a shower, too.
As
soon as the water starts hitting you in the morning.
Absolutely.
And you got sunburn. Whew.
The next segment is what we call the mile marker. It's our story segment. And this is the root highlight of this episode is our Eclipse Tour 2017. Yeah. We did this. I went back and looked. And
explain Eclipse Tour. What does that mean?
Sure. So in 2017, good point. Thank you. In 2017 was first for a long time of a full solar eclipse where the moon is going in front of the sun.
Yeah.
So that was, we did that back, that would have been in August of 2017. And so that was a 6-day trip for us. I think we left on a Sunday, came back on a Thursday. So the first day we...
That's not 6 days.
Isn't it? 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
Well, you said Sunday and Thursday.
I don't know. It was 20th through the 25th.
All right.
How about that?
All right, that works.
So we left. I know we left on a Sunday because I think the eclipse was on Monday.
Yeah.
So we rode together the full, let's see, there was it 1, 2, 3? There's 6 of us.
Yeah.
We rode down from Iowa to just south of Springfield, Missouri. Ozark is where we stayed the first night. And in episode 6, we talked about Salvatore is one of our favorite fun nights. And you can go back and listen to that. But we do have a correction to make because I think we said it was in St. Joseph's. What did we say?
St. Charles.
It's not in St. Charles.
It's not St. Charles. That's right.
There is a Salvatore's in St. Charles, but not the one we went to.
Not the one we went to.
So,
that's right.
Correction, it was Ozark, Missouri. We've checked it since on our timeline from Google. So that was a good ride that day, I think. And then the second day, you guys split off and headed east, and we headed actually down to Arkansas. Do you want to talk about
trip? Yeah, so 3 of us went over to Carbondale, Illinois.
And the reason you went there is because, you know, the solar eclipse could be seen everywhere in the U.S., but there was a stripe.
Yeah, that was the full solar eclipse.
It
was the complete coverage, and it was kind of like the dead center.
Right.
It was going to be the longest
duration, I think.
Yeah. You know, seeing it from that. So we wanted to get over to Carbondale, and as an extra bonus, one of our favorite bands was playing right after the eclipse occurred, so we wanted to stay there. But it was super hot that day. We rode, I remember going through like Cape Girardeau, Reynoldsville. We rode through the Shawnee National Forest. And
that's a good ride.
That's a really good ride. I can't remember those road numbers.
Well, you're cutting through. It's partially right around the old Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of cutting through those forests, but you get to that river between Illinois and Missouri and Kentucky, and you really get it's just a lot of nice hills because it's a river valley and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good riding.
Great riding. Yeah.
And then you went to Carbondale.
Oh, yep. And then we went to Carbondale. One of the best things was that eclipse, and I'll talk about it later. But when we, after going to see that eclipse, we swore that we were going to go see another one.
This 2024, year,
2024, yeah,
is, and then it's not. I don't think I'll see another one.
It'll be 20 more years. I think.
I don't think I'll.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
God willing.
Right.
So yeah. So you guys did that.
Yep.
And when you guys went that way, I don't know why we didn't go see the eclipse with you, but we headed kind of the other direction in south from Missouri down to Arkansas, and we went through Branson, and then we went to Arkansas. It's Highway 14 and Lead Hill is kind of this area. It's very unbelievable roads. They're just cutbacks and switchbacks. It's great riding. Very rural, I would call it. Interesting. We hit some highlights of Arkansas of Nail, Arkansas, Deer, Arkansas, as well as Snowball and Raspberry, Arkansas. and then we ended up staying there overnight. Weirdly, we stayed in Ozark, Missouri, the night before. We stayed in Ozark, Arkansas. Which, if you think about where Ozark, Arkansas is, it's probably about 35 miles from the border of Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of the neighborhood. And the next day, while you guys stayed overnight somewhere over there, and then you headed back, and we headed back up 27, which is kind of that area. And then Mountain Home, and then there's two lakes, really cool lakes down there. Bull Shoals Lake and Norfolk Lake, which is where we're at. And then we met up in Calico Rock, Arkansas at a... how would you describe it? It was a small little
mom and pop kind of diner.
Yeah, we had burgers and shakes, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of fried food.
There was a lot of fried food. But it was called Between the Buns.
Between the Buns.
It was fun, though. Yeah. I mean, it was a good experience. If you can imagine a very small town with a barely paved road parked, it was a little creek back there. It was kind of a cool place.
It was.
But it was fun. But
yeah.
We always joke because we met at the Between the Buns. Meet me Between the Buns.
It was kind of a small place. Like, they had maybe 10
It was an old gas station for sure.
Yeah.
Converted.
Yep.
Like, when you think of old gas station where small room, you know.
And then the shop next
right.
to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It was cool. But that was fun. And then the last night, so then that's, we ended up going the last night and staying in a really cool place, an old Route 66 hotel called the Wagon Wheel.
Yeah.
And that's cool because it has individual, I hate to call it a cabin because it's a little cottage, really, it's, right?
Like, little cottage, stone cottages.
10 maybe they had there.
Yeah.
Just like a hotel room, but separated as a stone cottage.
Yeah.
Just way cool.
It was really cool.
It was right on the old Route 66, cool old sign out front, you know. And then one of the neatest things, too, I think one of the most enjoyable things is in the back, they had almost like carports where we could park the bikes and a picnic table where we played cards and stuff. And
that was really cool. That was a lot of fun. It was a beautiful night. We sat out there, played cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bikes were covered underneath the
it was
carport.
Cool.
It was neat.
Yeah, very vehicle, motorcycle friendly, for sure.
So. Yeah, I'd recommend to anybody,
absolutely.
Stop at the Wagon Wheel.
It's just
historic.
I
don't remember... The history is online.
But
there's pictures from the 50s, you know, with, you know.
Yep. It's one of the staples, still is, if you look up the Route 66 some information. So that was fun. You know, riding the whole Route 66 would be amazing, but it's so long that it's kind of cool sometimes to find those places along the way and really get to them. So, yeah. And then we headed home on the 25th, whatever day of the week it was.
Right.
The podcast can be found on bestmotorcycleroads.com/podcast. All the information you need will be there. But you can subscribe on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, Pocket Casts, and YouTube.
This is the interactive segment. We will be looking for input from you. We want you to send us your questions and suggestions for roads, topics, and anything else you have on your mind. And this one comes from a guy named Travis. And he's asking us about the different types of motorcycles that we've taken trips on, and especially asking about the pros and cons of the Goldwings over other types of bikes. Currently, three of us in the group, the two of us and one other guy, we're riding Goldwings of all different years, but we've each owned quite a few different bikes and styles of bikes.
Right.
And like our friend Chris, he rides... he's currently riding like the, I think they call it the Ultra Glide, Harley Ultra Glide. It's full bagger. It's got all the bells and whistles on it.
It's like a Goldwing touring, I'd say.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's the Harley touring version.
Bike.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Mike is driving a cruiser.
Right.
Windshield. He's got side bags, no trunk.
Right.
He's the one that doesn't have a throttle lock or anything. He has to.
We might have to fix that before the next trip.
I know I started with a cruiser. I had a couple different cruisers, and now I have the Goldwing. And I don't know why I ever had anything but a Goldwing, to be quite honest. It's so amazing. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I always used to think of them as kind of the old man's bike, but no way. They've got all kinds of power. They handle great. I really wish I'd had one for much longer. But I know both you and Brad have had sport touring bikes and adventure bikes and cruisers. And
yeah, Mark and I have had a couple different adventure bikes.
Mark.
So, I mean, we can probably get into this as we go on. But, I mean, the longer the miles that you're putting on, the more touring bike I think that you're going to want. Mark loves riding his ADVs, you know, like his adventure bikes. And you can definitely do it. You just eat a lot more wind. And, you know, like, I rode his adventure bike on the last tour we took. And I think we were 5 days. I think we had 3 days of rain. Yeah. And it sucks. I mean, you get wet. I mean, yeah, I was wearing rain gear and all that jazz. But, I mean, it just gets tiring after a while. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think just from a straight out of the gate, and we can kind of talk about each of the different types as we, in future podcasts, but I'd say... straight out of the gate, you're just getting so much more wind protection on the touring bikes. you know, adjustable windshields now on like my newer Goldwing. You're just getting all the bells and the whistles, nice big seats. You're getting, you know, wind protection, hand protection, heated grips. I got heated seats now. I mean, it's just really, it's comfortable. You know, I think Travis maybe in his notes said, I call those the Cadillac, you know, and we used to call it the couch, and it is, you know, I mean, it's definitely that. And I don't know. It just depends on what you're into. Everyone likes their thing, and all bikes work. I know that Turkall rode a single cylinder, you know, like a little tiny thing for one time. And, you know, there's advantages there. They get great mileage. You know, the big bikes, they're, you know, lucky to be in the 30s and 40s, you know, like, and those little bikes get great fuel mileage. And if you're keeping slow and you're on the two lanes, they're not terrible. They're just, you know, if you ever have to get on the interstate, that's when it just beats you up a little bit more.
Yeah. Than,
you
know, just a wind pounding on you.
Yeah. But it's still a preference, right?
It is. And when you're young, it's, you know, we used to get beat up by the wind forever. And, and I think the older we've gotten, the more it takes it out of us, you know, and at the end of the day, we don't want to feel all beat up and worn out. So, it's kind of nice to have all the extra protection.
And I've never rode two up on any one of those other bikes locally, but like when you and your wife ride two up, boy, the size and the extra is really not just from the luggage perspective, but just from the comfort, you know, like cramped up leg, you know, legs aren't up by someone's ears and this kind of business.
Yeah, my wife falls asleep sometimes on the back of the Goldwing.
And now it's the last mile, our way to kind of close the episode with our reflections. So, Todd, what do you want to talk about for this episode?
Well, for me, the full solar eclipse is something I'll never forget. I know the three of us who went, we all, you know, said we're absolutely going to do this again in 2024. It was that dramatic. It was that impressive. And I remember going home afterwards and telling friends and relatives, if you weren't there, you really did miss out, and don't miss it in 2024. So it was exhilarating. It was thrilling. It was just so memorable. What was extra cool, too, about where we stopped, you know, and I think we were just behind a gas station, if I remember right, like in a big parking lot. And we were standing there, and we had our glasses on, and there was a guy with a group sitting behind us a little ways. And he started narrating all the different phases that, you know, the sun and moon were going through, and he would call them out and yell to the group. And it was just so cool that, you know, he was yelling out, you know, here comes the diamond ring. And then, you know, sure enough, you'd see that shape appear. And it just made it extra special. So that's why this coming April 8th, we're going to take another motorcycle trip to go see the next solar eclipse.
I hope the weather is good.
That's right.
Have you rode in the snow before?
Not yet. I really don't want to.
Yeah.
How about with you, Tom?
Well, first of all, I want to say, like, I was frustrated. I'm kind of sorry that I missed out on the eclipse, so I'm excited to go to that this year, too. So we're planning on being somewhere in the Missouri-Illinois area, too. Like, if people want to, if you're interested in meeting us there, we're not exactly sure yet where. You know, jump on the website, bestmotorcycleroads.com, fill out the contact form there. We'll send some information out too if that's of interest to you.
Yeah.
So for me, for this trip, you know, I'll always remember Salvatore's. It was just like we've talked about so many times. It's so much more about just, it was that local place. Mm-hmm. We had a good time, didn't have any expectations, and it was just fun. So, I mean, that is one huge memory for me that I love. The second one really is, you've talked about like where I really dig in to find like the two lane roads, and the two lane roads that we found in Arkansas. I mean, it was, it was unbelievable. Like, you know, so you got the eclipse and you got me on that, but what we did see was, I mean, amazing. Like, like what you would expect, stereotype Arkansas roll, it was all of that, and it was really cool. So between those two things, I just really enjoyed that.
I think it's always been worth the effort that you put in to find
absolutely
amazing two-lane roads that just wind through hillsides and beautiful scenery and is along rivers and around lakes and, it's awesome.
Which leads us to the next episode, which in episode number 9 we'll be talking about our 2024 trip planning, the things that we do to kind of make a season successful and each trip successful. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, me too.
If this episode revved up your day, don't keep it to yourself. Like, subscribe, and share it with your crew. We're all about the thrill of the ride and the bond it creates.
Keep the spirit of adventure alive, and remember, bikes, friends, and endless roads. The stories ride forever. Take care.